to DFM's Last Word on Health with Matt Cooper.
Now, you're very welcome back to The Last Word with me, Frank Graney, filling in for Matt Cooper on the show this evening. A bipolar disorder is a mental illness that causes disturbances in a person's mood, energy and ability to function. The severe mood swings that occur generally last for weeks to months at a time and can result in significant disability through damaged relationships, difficulty with employment and significant risk of harm because of reckless or impulsive behaviour. Dr. Dearan O'Leary, health blogger and GP with My Cork GP, joins me today to discuss the disorder in more detail. And can I begin by asking you, Dearan, how common is bipolar disorder? I think most people will know of somebody that suffers with it. And what are the symptoms?
So it's not very common. I suppose approximately 1-3% of the population worldwide have bipolar disorder. Typically tends to come to light from about age kind of 15 to 30 years of age. We don't see it commonly in younger people, and it's not typical to be diagnosed later in life either. So it's that age group where it can become apparent kind of 15 to age 30. So as you said, it's a mood disorder characterized by the main symptoms that are mania, manic episodes, hypomania, depression, and in some cases, psychosis or psychotic symptoms as well, like delusions or hallucinations. There are two main types of bipolar disorder. So bipolar 1 is when the patient experiences manic episodes, followed by major depressive or hypomanic episodes. And then there's bipolar 2, which is marked by one hypomanic episode or a depressive episode, but not with that floridly manic episode as occurs in bipolar 1.
Let's talk a little bit then about the mania that you described there, because bipolar disorder would have been known previously as manic depression. Is that that's correct?
So maybe
can you tell us a little bit about these manic episodes that a person with bipolar will suffer from?
Yeah, the manic episodes are probably the most difficult and disabling for patients who suffer from this disorder. So a floridly manic episode is characterized by, you know, a euphoric mood. Patient is, you know, has an abnormally elevated mood. They might be irritable as well, or the mood might be labile, kind of going up, and a kind of unsteady, unpredictable mood. We see disinhibition and disregard for social boundaries. There might be a sense of an abnormal sense of self-importance or kind of grandiosity. Patients who are going through manic episodes oftentimes don't need sleep at all. They might go for days without sleep, but not feeling tired, you know, because we have patients who suffer from insomnia, but if they're not getting sleep, they'll feel tired and they'll want to get to sleep. But patients who are going through severe manic episodes can stay awake for days on end and not feel that tiredness. We also see risky behavior, and whether it's there's a, you know, real like impulsivity and a disregard for risk. So whether it's, you know, risky driving or risky sexual behavior or risky financial decisions, that type of thing. So there's a real disregard for risks, but the thoughts tend to be kind of disconnected. So even if a patient has, you know, increased planning, or, you know, planning, say, for example, you know, a lot of new different business adventures or whatever, those tasks don't get completed because of that disorganized thought process.
Okay, so by the very nature of the manic side of it, you know, two extremes, I assume, what goes up must come down. So after these days and weeks of, you know, manic mood, you know, the depressive side then comes into it, and that can be a very dark space for people suffering from bipolar disorder.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so difficult. I suppose some people then will go, say, straight from a manic episode right into a depressive episode, and that's called rapid cycling. But then there are some patients who might transition from a manic episode and then have a euthymic kind of period in between. Euthymia is just the medical term for normal mood. Those patterns vary. But then, as you said, you know, patients can go into depressive episodes, and patients who suffer from bipolar disorder are particularly at risk, are high risk for suicide as well. So, you know, the symptoms of depression to look out for, you know, low energy, low mood. There might be lack of sleep, early morning waking, or else oversleeping. So either of those might be, symptom of depression for some people. Then anhedonia, or that's the term for just not having interest in, in activities, say, that you would have ordinarily had interest in or enjoyed, like if somebody enjoyed, following soccer or playing soccer or whatever, or reading the papers, just not taking pleasure in those activities that you usually would have done before. And then, of course, we have, appetite changes. But again, with appetite, it might be increased appetite, overeating for some people, undereating for some people, poor concentration. And as I said, suicidal thoughts in severe cases. And these patients are at risk, high risk for suicide.
And what can trigger, is there anything in particular that can trigger an episode that maybe loved ones can look out for?
So major stressful life events can actually trigger a manic episode. So whether it's everyday life or becoming overwhelmingly busy or money problems, a job loss, a divorce, those stressful life events can trigger it as well. But in terms of just causes of bipolar disorder, there's a strong genetic component, so it does tend to run in families. And if somebody in your family had bipolar disorder, you're at higher risk of developing it yourself as well. There's a chemical imbalance at play as well in bipolar disorder. So, our neurotransmitters are the chemicals in our brain that kind of control or regulate our mood. Serotonin, dopamine, noradrenaline. So they're all of the chemicals in our brain. So there's an imbalance of those that can be at play as well. There is an inflammatory component as well in it that isn't, fully understood, but there is increased inflammation as well in patients who have bipolar disorder.
Okay. And what are you doing then treatment-wise when somebody comes to you and is diagnosed with bipolar? What, if any, treatment is there for somebody who has that condition?
Well, look, there's loads of support out there, and there's a lot of there's so much support out there, and of all of the illnesses, it's one of the ones really in which there's such a huge MDT input, like multidisciplinary team input is so critical. So, we might have the community mental health team with input from social workers, occupational therapists, community mental health nurses, psychology as well. There's a big role for psychologists, whether it's doing cognitive behavioral therapy, counselling. Whether that's counselling or psychotherapy for the patient themselves, or whether it's marriage counselling or family counselling, because this illness really does affect the entire family, and it is really, really difficult for their loved ones and family as well. So there are support groups
and
again
do you find
for patients
that it's,
and families.
Is it fair to say that when somebody's experiencing this manic high, and a loved one can maybe see that, the low is coming, or that they're having an episode, are they receptive to that input from a loved one, when they're experiencing the highs?
Yeah, so I think what you're discussing there is insight, like the level of insight that a patient has into their illness, and that will vary from person to person.
Of course.
And some patients have, great insight, and they'll know when an episode is coming on, or, a patient might contact me themselves and say, Jerry, look, I know here that I'm heading for a manic episode, and being
that
able to recognize that
must be terrifying as well. That sensation of knowing that there's one on the horizon.
That's it, but it's it's so powerful for those patients as well, because they recognize it and you can get in early and intervene and stop it from happening. But then, unfortunately, there are the patients who don't have that insight, so who aren't recognizing that it's happening and aren't recognizing that they're in a manic episode. And that is so difficult for family and friends, because there can be big personality changes as well during a manic episode. So the person that they ordinarily know, they might be just acting completely out of character. So that really can be difficult for family, because if the person doesn't recognize what they're going through, or doesn't recognize that there's a problem, it can be really very difficult to intervene in that instance.
Of course. Dr. Darren O'Leary, thanks very much for that.
Today FM's Last Word on Health with Matt Cooper.